The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and you guys are rolling with me on the blowtorch of the Midwest, 1280 AM KYRO, and this is your queue show for this week. I want to say, first off, thank you to a lot of fans who've been getting hold of me over the week. The James Storm interview with TNA Wrestling went absolutely amazing, and now I have a new Canadian contingency, a faction of Canadian fans that love the Q show, and they would love for me to do an interview with Chris Harris. That is the old tag team partner of James Storm. They've been hitting him up. Chris Harris got a hold of me, and I'm working that out right now. We're going to try to do a little interview with Chris Harris coming up very soon. So thank you so much to all the fans out there who listen to the Q every single week. Also, I've got another relatively popular podcast within the Midwest that has gotten in contact with me. They really like what I do on the show, and they want to throw one of their guys over here to come on the show with me. He lives within driving distance, hours of here, and he's more than willing to come down. He wants to come check out the show, and he's kind of a big name, but I'm keeping that secret, just throwing that out there for all you guys. Listen, like I said, right now you are listening to the queue. This is WestplexNewsTalk.com. That's where you can check us out every single Saturday from noon till 2 p.m. on the days that we don't have Mizzou football, starting at noon or 11 a.m. Also, I want you guys to give me a call, 636-356-9266. Before we get any further into this, I've got someone special who's just sitting and waiting because, well, he understands what it's like to be the captain of a spaceship in space, similar to Red Dwarf or maybe the big dog that the guy rode on in Neverending Story. Or there's a lot of things that I could compare this individual to. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, please welcome to the show one of our favorite people that we do a lot of things for, and he never returns the favor ever. Fred Slow, ladies and gentlemen. Fred, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for letting me come on the show.
Hey, no problem, man. Hey, listen, we've got a big event coming up that we've been working on here.
Mark, it's cold outside.
It is cold outside. Actually, I got two things I want to talk to you about. First off, let's talk about this event that's coming up. We've already talked about it. We talked about it about a month ago on the show, but it's now a week out, and I want everyone to know about what's going on. Give everybody some of the details.
What we're doing, it's my podcast, Over the Skydive, and an associate with you at the Q. We're throwing a benefit for a friend of my show, Krista Roberson,
yep,
who has black mold poisoning. If you're not familiar with it, it is intensely bad. It affects nearly every part of your body. There are periods where she cannot see, speak. She does not hear well. It's in her joints. She can't move.
That's just got to be horrible.
Debilitating on all kinds of, not just physically, but the toll mentally. And I know we've been over before, Mark, but just to reiterate, it's 2 years of misdiagnosis, but she's finally on the right track. But unfortunately, it's going to cost a little bit of money.
We don't have Obamacare yet. We don't have that ability to knock down some of those medical costs. We still have private Republican and conservative run healthcare companies that charge out the wazoo.
And we can't wait for this to come around because she needs help now.
Right.
So what we're doing with St. Louis Anarchy, who is a professional wrestling organization here in St. Louis, I know you're familiar with and I'm familiar with.
Uh-huh.
They're donating their ring and their talent, and we're going to put on a wrestling exhibition at the Cellar Room in Alton. That's on the Metro East side. Mark, are you afraid to cross the river? Come over.
I'm
to
not
Illinois.
Afraid to cross the river. I'm kind of disappointed though. I feel that I could pretty much beat up every single person they have on the roster, literally. I think that they're scared of me. Because we put it out to him. We were like, hey, you know, let Mark get in a ring over there. And They said, I'm sorry, we can't fathom what the kind of ass kicking that he would give to most of our wrestlers. We can't even we can't take that personally, but hey, you know what, Mark? If you want, we'll let you sell hot dogs and watch from afar, because we're really we're the further away you are, the better we feel, because then we don't have to get upstaged.
And we both thought that was kind of a long-winded response from them, but they were quivering in their boots so bad that we were impressed that they got it out. So that was nice. But Stainless Anarchy, they're an outstanding organization. Like I said, they're donating just a ton to help, and we're going to sell tickets, and there'll be some raffles, and you know, we'll have a barbecue and a bake sale. It's noon to 6 this Saturday, the 13th, so 1 week from today.
Where's it at?
The cell room at Alton. It's in the 2300 block of Broadway. Can't miss it. Huge parking lot. We'll have a wrestling ring and some inflatables. You know, it'll be a real nice atmosphere to
bring the family out, watch some pro wrestling, have a good time, grab some hot dogs, and support a good cause is basically what you're saying.
Bring your jacket. It's an outside event, so we're rain or shine, we are going.
Now, quick question for you. What's Krista's response been to this so far?
I'm sorry, can you ask me again, Mark?
What's Krista's response been to this? Have you talked to her about it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's excited for help because she's, you know, like I said, the last 2 years have been such a struggle.
Right.
But it's hard for her to have any real involvement with every day for her is the hardest day of her life.
Right.
Every day. She cannot get off the couch. It's a struggle, Mark. There's no other way to say it. So,
is Krista going to be in attendance at the event?
As of this moment, she will be, but that's all.
That's all depending on how she feels
that
day and everything. Like, no, I understand. That makes a lot of sense. So, basically, what we want you guys to do is we want you to come out. We want you to support Krista's cause. We're going to be doing this over at the Cellar Room in Alton next Saturday. That would be the October 13th, right?
Yes, sir.
October 13th, starting at noon, hot dogs, pro wrestling. It's going to be a great time, and everybody's going to have the ability. I will be there personally. So if you want to come up and meet a superstar, you want to meet someone who's famous, someone who literally is everything. I am as popular at this point as the umpire from the Cardinals-Braves game last night. That's how popular I am.
So we're like, everyone knows that he exists, but no one knows his name?
Listen, I'm not too heavy to skydive. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah,
I literally will skydive all day long. Okay? That's one of the things that I wanted to ask you about. And so anyway, go to Facebook.com. We're going to post it at TooHeavyToSkydive.com as well as at TheQNow.com. We'll have information on there. Go to the Breaking Point blog on TheQNow. That's where I'll have all the information for the event coming up this Saturday. I'm sure TooHeavyToSkydive.com, you guys are going to have all this stuff posted too, right?
Yeah, we'll have all the information. It'll be on the fan page and the Twitter, and we have a lot of local support from businesses and associations, so they're spreading the words. $10 at the door, and like I said, barbecue and wrestling and outside fun, and it's for a good cause. So if you have a better Saturday than that, I would doubt it.
Now, quick question for you. This is what I wanted to talk about. This is the second thing I wanted to talk about. So you watched that baseball game, right? Because you like baseball.
Yeah.
You've come on the show and explained to me that you love the boring game of baseball.
In its entirety, every single aspect.
You
of it.
Love the fact that the right fielder shags one ball a game and gets paid like $9 million a year. Because just to stand there.
I understand the infield fly rule, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. No. I didn't watch the game. Primarily for two reasons. One, because I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, primarily. Cardinals are my second favorite team. Also, I was quite busy last night doing things that are important. Now,
Shark Tank was on, right?
Shark Tank was on, and Key and Peele. Let's just be honest. So, with that being stated, my question for you is: was this a call against the Braves or for the or against the Cardinals? That's my first question because I didn't see it live.
It's not an against call; it's a for call. It's for the runner's protection. So when the ball is hit...
Who was batting? Who was batting at the time? Was it Cardinals or Braves? That's my question.
The Braves are batting. The Braves are at bat.
Okay, the Braves are at bat. So, David Eckstein and... What? What's so funny? David Eckstein, he's the shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals,
yeah,
right?
That's fine. So
Scott Rolen. Scott Rolen and David Eckstein are standing right where they're supposed to be standing.
So The World Series MVP, David Eckstein, breaks back on the ball.
Right. Exactly. Keep going. Explain this out to me.
Right. So the ball is obviously, it's hit in the air, and I think it's in the air for about 6 seconds. So
it's a short, ball. Basically, it's a short fly.
Right. And with regular effort, the shortstop, who is not David Eckstein, it's Cosma, Pete Cosma, he goes back, and he can make a play on the ball from his infield position with ordinary effort.
I would assume that every player on the field at any time during a live game can make a play on the ball with ordinary effort. Because that's their job. That's kind of their job.
Right.
Their job is to catch things and throw it.
That's not how the infield fly works. But yes.
Okay.
So whenever the ball lands, not caught, it had been called the infield fly, obviously.
Now, is that one of those rules where they call, like, nobody can touch the ball? Like, you can't make a play for anybody? You just got to, like, yes. Kind of like when you call for a fair catch in NFL?
Exactly.
Okay.
The same. That's the best way to, yeah. So every runner is dead at that advantage. They cannot move past the base. They cannot advance the base.
Right.
They cannot be thrown out in a double play. It's to protect the runner. It is for the offense.
Okay.
That's the call. Okay.
So what happened? Why is it such a big deal?
Oh, because they landed up through trash on the field.
No. They threw trash because something happened. What specifically happened to make them get angry and throw trash?
The infield fly was called.
That was it? Like, their runners weren't able to advance. That was the only reason that they got angry.
Yes.
And the umpire sounds like he was well within his rights to call the infield fly?
Yes.
Okay, well then, I guess it's pretty null and void, ladies and gentlemen. Umpire made the right call. People of Atlanta, you suck. Okay?
If you were, do you watch the TMZ of sports that ESPN?
I have seen Stuart Scott's eyes go two different directions multiple times in my life. Yes,
I'm pulling you on that. They think it's a big deal.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
No. They think it's a big deal because Ted Turner owns a lot of media conglomerates and they care. That's it.
TBS was carrying the game.
That's
so
right.
Yeah.
They care. That's the problem. They care because of that stupid stuff right there. Listen, last thing I want to talk to you about before we get out of here, okay?
Yeah.
Now, Fred, I know, like I said, you love the boring game of baseball. Huge fan of it. Albert Pujols is sitting on a couch somewhere in Anaheim, California.
A really nice couch.
A really, really nice couch with two World Series rings, a bunch of MVP trophies, as well as the ability to tell people I hit three home runs in a World Series game, just like Reggie Jackson did. Legendary stuff. Legendary stuff. Are you one of those people that got really, you know, like that care? Because there's a lot of St. Louisans that got super butthurt. Super ooper duper butthurt by the whole Albert Pujols leaving us thing. And so they can't help but go, hey, take that, Albert. Put that one in your books, buddy. Look at us. We're in the wild card. You're sitting at home. And I'm like sitting there going, you do realize that Bryce Harper by himself could literally destroy the entire Cardinals organization if he decided to play every single position on the field. By himself.
He's no John Mabry. I think it was said best, Mark. Me and you, we've associated in the business sense for about a year now. And it was about 11 months ago that Albert signed with the Anaheim Angels, right?
Yes, he did.
And you had come on to Every Skydive for the Year in Review show.
Yes, I did.
And whenever we asked you about it, you said, who cares? And I almost am on your team about that. I don't think it matters at all.
It doesn't. It just doesn't.
It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt baseball. It doesn't hurt him. I think it's all me.
You really think Albert, with his guaranteed first ballot Hall of Fame induction coming up in the next 5 to 10 years, along with his gajillions of dollars and the probable fact that he's going to go down as the best player in the last 100 years of baseball, period.
All those things are facts.
All of those things that I just said are facts. He doesn't care, St. Louisans. And here's the problem I have with the St. Louisans. You guys are butthurt, and the minute, just like with Mark McGwire, the minute this dude comes back 10 years from now and goes, I'm going into the Hall of Fame, and I want to wear a Cardinals jersey, you're going to embrace him. You're going to tell him, oh, I never said anything bad about you. I love you. We're all bestest friends. Like, you guys are going to take him back because you're the biggest fair-weather douches that I've ever seen in my life. Swear to God. I love St. Louis. People think that I hate on St. Louis. No, I hate on the attitude of St. Louisans. I love St. Louis. I've grown up here my whole life, and I wouldn't rather be here than anywhere else in the world, okay? My thing is this. I just think you guys are so fair weather. Right now, everybody's, oh, the Rams, man, the Rams, man. Did you see the game yet? Or the Rams? Yeah. Where were you at 3 months ago, preseason? You were nowhere. You were nowhere, and if you did talk about the Rams, you were like, well, I don't know, man. You know, these guys have been pretty sucky for the last 5 years straight.
Well, I was at the game Thursday night, Mark.
Must be nice to be rich. Must be nice to be rich.
It's
who you know sometimes. Are you conservative? Are you Republican?
I'm probably not informed enough to say. But I don't know who's telling you they're huge Ram fans, but that stadium was probably only 60% full the other night.
Yeah, it was. And you know what? They can keep. But here's the thing. St. Louis, fair weather city, as the season goes on, if they win more and more, slowly the stadium will fill up. And then all of a sudden next year, if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, all of a sudden next year, boom, gone. All that goes away.
Thursday night football is an event. They should have been full. That's how I feel.
Yeah, it should.
That's how I feel.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're totally right. That's
like there's going to be an outcry whenever 2 years from now, when our stadium's not in the top 25% of NFL stadiums, and our team is starting to go to LA, and people are going to be in an uproar. But it's like at times like these when we've had these struggles for what has it been since 2006? We haven't had a winning record. Whenever we've had these struggles. And we haven't been there to support them. And like, and I'm only casting the first stone because I have supported them. I've been blind to the brand or whatever. But where were you guys at on Thursday night? We don't get primetime games. We don't get national games.
Ever. And not only that, it was against St. Louis's former team. You know, it wasn't just hey, Thursday night football and we're playing the Atlanta Falcons. No, no, no. It was Thursday night football where they could show tons of highlights of Dan Dierdorf. With a really bad mustache from the 70s.
He was at the game.
Conrad Dobler. Oh, my God. Terry Metcalf. Let's just keep Roger Worley. We're just going to keep throwing names out there over and over and over. Like, we got tons of St. Louis Cardinals football fans. You know what I'm saying?
And even, it's a little disappointing. Because even guys from, like, the heyday of the Rams, like, Kurt Warner was there. And Marshall Faulk was there. All these guys that had found success in St. Louis. And they were being celebrated by a half-full stadium.
That's right. That's right. That's my problem. That's my problem. And you know, here's even funnier. If we could bring this back to the Cardinals. For, what did I tell you guys? For what, 15 or 16, 17 years, something like that, Tony La Russa was the coach of the Cardinals, right?
16 years, yeah.
16 years. In those 16 years, I think they missed the playoffs twice? Once?
I think it was four times, but that's pretty close.
Okay. Let's say four times then. Four times in 16 years. You missed the playoffs. Out of those 16 years, you got two World Series victories.
And an appearance, another appearance.
And an appearance, and let us not forget an almost appearance in, what was it, 97, 98, when they played the Mets in the NLCS?
Yeah, Mike Piazza went off. 97 or 98, I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you remember what I'm talking about. That's my point.
Right.
Like, you guys have had tons of luck, but here's the thing. If the Cardinals didn't make the playoffs or they lost in the playoffs – every single year at the end of the year, we need to get rid of Tony La Russa. We need to get rid of Tony La Russa. Got to get rid of that guy. He sucks.
Right.
Really?
Really? Right.
Really? Tony La Russa, one of the winningest baseball coaches of all time. Not only did he win World Series with our team twice, he won World Series with Oakland and other teams in his career.
We retired his number within 6 months.
We retired his number within 6 months. That's my point. You are such a fair weather city, St. Louis. I really resent that. I hate the fact that we are like that. Like, I get it. You guys wear your Cardinals jerseys and you love these guys. Let's talk about this, Fred. We got the Washington Nationals coming up next.
Sure.
Steven Strawberry and Bryce Harpage.
Yeah, these guys aren't close.
Those guys by themselves could beat the entire Cardinals organization playing MLK 2K 3-1-3-14. Okay?
So you're just naming letters and maybe those are actually numbers. But Steven, would you call him Salisbury? He's not playing.
Okay, he's not playing at all? Why would you let that guy play? He's really good.
They're poorly managed.
They're what?
The Nationals, the poorly managed. They had Steven Strasburg on an inning count, and they managed it poorly throughout the year, so now he doesn't get to play.
Wait a second.
It will be
they just take him and put him into the game? That's my question. Explain that
to me. He's not on the roster.
Well, that's stupid.
It's not smart.
Why would you take one of your best players and, like, they never did that to, who were the guys that were really good, the pitchers for Atlanta back in the 90s? I can't remember that. Like, John Smoltz. They never did that to John Smoltz. Why would they do it to him?
Well, and it's funny you named John Smoltz alone because he had the same Tommy John surgery as Steven Strasburg had, and he had it after going, like, 300-something innings for 50 saves in 1997 or whatever.
Right.
And then when he came back the next year, he pitched the entire year in the starting rotation. But with Steven Strasburg, they're going to give him only, 160 innings and none of them in the playoffs, which just seems foolish for a team that hasn't been to the playoffs ever in Washington, D.C., and hasn't been on the playoffs as an organization since something like the late 80s. So it is not for your fans. It is poorly done. And that's the kind of thing, like, here in St. Louis, we don't respect. Like, the Cardinals organization has ran so well. Like, they do it right for the fans. But, like, whenever you get a team, like, in Washington that has success.
I'm
sorry, Mark.
No, you're fine. I'm a big fan of Roger Goodell's management of the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team. He's very talented. And
Roger Goodell is the NFL football commissioner.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I guess I got
that wrong. Yeah, well, when John Mozeliak gets guys to coach this baseball team, like the pitching coach, Mike Keenan, and these guys are amazing at what they do. So
it's awful.
Okay, never mind. Okay, this is going completely awry. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank Fred from Two Evidence Skydive for joining me today on The Q. So much. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate you calling in. Krista's Cause is next Saturday, October 13th, over in Alton, Illinois. Go to theqnow.com or twoheavydiveskydive.com. Search those up on Google if you don't know what you're looking for. And you can get all your information there. Anything else, Fred?
No, just thank you for what you have done for this, and I'm excited to see everyone next Saturday.
All right, man. Well, we will talk to you later, Fred. Thanks a lot. Hold on the phone for me, okay, bud?
Yep.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back right here on The Q right after this.
With all these buyouts and all of our companies going overseas, there's no reason our beer needs to be owned by a foreign company.
American Patriot Beer is a crisp, clean lager, full of flavor and full of American spirit.
And it's being brought to you by some of the very same Americans who lost their jobs to buyouts. You're going to love it.
It's all been made right here in the USA. The bottles, the grains, even the paper for the cartons.
One taste is all it takes. American Patriot and American Patriot Light. Now available in bottles and cans.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and we just got done talking to our buddy Fred Slow from Two Evidence Skydive. Krista's Cause coming up next Saturday, October 13th, over in Alton, Illinois. And if you're listening nationwide, you can find out more information by going to theqnow.com or to the Facebook page for Krista's Cause or to twoevidenceskydive.com. Love it when Fred comes on. We have a lot of fun. So at the 1 o'clock hour, I'm actually going to be welcoming on to the queue one gentleman by the name of John Shepper, who's going to join me. Mr. Shepper is a conservative who lives within the St. Louis area. He is actually running to be a local commissioner in the St. Louis area for a I don't even really know what the commissioner position does. I guess I'll have to ask John Shepherd when he comes on. I'm trying to explain it, but I really kind of don't have an idea what the commissioner physically does. There's a lot of jobs within government that are just like that, where people just have no clue whatsoever what the commissioner does. So, regardless of that, he's going to be coming on in the 1 o'clock hour. He wants to discuss the debates from this past week, and that's something that I'm definitely going to jump into here on the queue, is this debate situation. There's a few things that came out of the debates, so I wanted to talk about a few different things. We're going to wait for the PBS thing for when Mr. Shepherd decides to join us at the top of the hour at 1 o'clock. But don't forget, you guys can listen to this show any single time. We have tons of past archived episodes at theqnow.com. Go there. They're free, totally free. Free content for you guys to sink your teeth into and enjoy old tournaments of pop culture, which we need to get a couple of people together and come over here to the station, and we need to do a tournament of pop culture. I haven't done one in so long. I think it would be great to get Fred in actually on one of those tournament of pop cultures. Maybe I can get me, him, and a gentleman by the name of Jeff involved in a tournament of pop culture between the three of us for something coming up here. It's obviously October. Maybe we could do haunted houses or horror movies. I think we've done horror movies before. Maybe we can do slasher movies, something different. Or we got the holidays coming up, so we'll work on that. Anyway, if you'd like to join in, 636-356-9266. If you're listening to this on the podcast, which we do have quite a few people that download the podcast every single week, don't call in right now. Unless you're listening live on Saturday afternoon, don't call in, because we're not there at the station. You're probably going to get the board up for G. Gordon Liddy or something like that. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the debates. A lot of people are saying, excuse me, a lot of people are saying Mitt Romney rocked that debate out, dude. He totally took it to them. He put that black guy in his place. Okay. Mitt Romney did better than many people expected him to do. Now, I was not surprised that Mitt Romney did well or did decent, because Mitt Romney is running for president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to become president of the United States, it's probably a good idea that you know how to speak to people well. That's it. There's nothing more to discuss or yell about or talk about. You probably want to know how to debate and talk well. So that makes sense that he would be in that position. Now, next point. Barack Obama. He sucked it up, man. He looked absolutely horrible. It was pathetic, man. He doesn't deserve to be president. Okay. Two things. One, how well you debate has nothing to do with being the president of the United States, straight up. Because at no point in the last 4 years of Barack Obama, or the 8 years prior to that of George Bush, or the 8 years prior to that of Bill Clinton, was there ever some specialized debate competition that popped up out of the complete nowhere in blue where Barack Obama was going to have to go debate against the president of Russia or the prime minister of France. At no point does that ever happen. Nobody ever has a debate. The closest thing to a debate that we've ever had was when the Bay of Pigs happened and John F. Kennedy basically got into a yelling match with, that's going to escape my mind. I should get beaten for this one. The president of Russia at the time. Khrushchev. That's it. Khrushchev. Slamming his shoe on the table. That was the closest that there was to a debate ever about anything. So, debates really are the ability to debate well, have nothing to do with being president of the United States. Two, Barack Obama didn't really say anything, but he really did not say anything. Conservatives have a problem right now. They're in a relatively close race for president of the United States. When you're in a relatively close race for president of the United States or any major office, it's always kind of nice to have some grease up your shoulder, up your sleeve, something you can hit the wheels with every once in a while to make people kind of change their opinion, something that you can spin and throw back at somebody. an ace up your sleeve, something that you can kind of use to create drama, to change the game. Barack doesn't trip much. Barack doesn't fall down much. Barack doesn't say anything stupid much. And if he does, it's not big enough or strong enough for the Republicans and the conservatives to spin into anything that they could use to help beat Barack Obama. When Mitt Romney walks into England during the Olympics and says, "Looks like you guys have done a piss poor job of putting this stuff together." Yeah, that makes the Queen unhappy. That really pisses off all the people over in England, our closest ally. That makes people think that Mitt Romney's a nitwit. And that is the kind of stuff Barack has to his arsenal that he can use against Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney did do that. That's called tripping and falling on your face or doing something stupid you shouldn't do. Now, cut, quit, change to Barack Obama. Barack isn't doing any of those things. You might not like his Obamacare. You might not like his Financial Reform Act. You might not like some of the things and moves that Barack Obama makes. But he isn't walking into other countries and saying stupid things. He's not complaining to this person or complaining to that person. He's not throwing stupid sound bites out there that the conservatives can grab onto. So now they have no cannon fodder in this close race to use to their advantage. So by Barack Obama not necessarily coming out swinging and looking great, but not necessarily sitting back and not doing anything at all, he really didn't give them anything to grab for. So I don't think Mitt Romney and them are happy about that. You see, they wanted two birds, one stone. They wanted to come out looking good on the debate, which they did. And they also wanted to get something, some sound bites that they could work with. Unfortunately, the only one who provided a soundbite at all, which we will talk with John Shepherd about this at the top of the hour, in the next half of the show, is the PBS thing. And that's what Mitt Romney said. Mitt Romney gave us the soundbite that has become popular. Excuse me. So, my point is very simple. Don't count Barack out yet. It wasn't as bad as you're making it out to be. I'm not saying that Mitt Romney didn't technically win that debate. If this was professional boxing and it was a 10-point must system, Barack Obama lost that match 10-9. Romney 10, Barack 9. 10-point must system in boxing. So yes, he won the match. But it wasn't the kind, like, nobody understands when I say this. This was not a debate that people were looking at to see if Mitt Romney was worth their time. Everyone walking into this debate has already pretty much made up their mind as to who they want to vote for. Nobody is sitting there screaming, "Man, I really want Mitt Romney." Travis Cook has sat here on my show and said he doesn't want it. A guy named Brian on Facebook, who's an outspoken conservative, has said Mitt Romney's not his guy. Many, many, many conservatives have said Mitt Romney is not the guy they want. It's the guy they have to deal with. So you're walking into this debate not trying to figure out if you're going to vote for Mitt Romney or not. You're trying to figure out if you want to vote against Barack Obama. This debate was not about Mitt Romney. It was about Barack Obama. You could have had Penn and Teller, the magicians, along with along with Arnold Schwarzenegger doing a three-way to his maid live on TV on one side of that stage and Barack Obama on the other side. And the only person you guys cared about seeing was Barack Obama and what he's had to say and how he was going to answer those questions. That's the truth. It didn't matter what or who was on the other side of that stage. It doesn't matter who is on the voting ticket against Barack Obama in 2012. It could have been anybody. It could have been Ron Paul. It could have been Rick Santorum. It doesn't matter who it is. The question is are you voting for or against Barack Obama? Not, "I'm for Mitt Romney." No, "I'm for Barack Obama." No. If you're for Barack Obama, you're for him. If you're against Barack Obama, you're not voting for Mitt Romney. You're voting against Barack Obama. That's the truth. It's a bad way to be, but, you know, that's kind of where we're at with this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the show, and when we come back, more great stuff as we lead up to the top of the hour when John Shepherd is going to join us here on The Q. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and yeah, that's what we're dealing with here. TheQNow.com, you can find it every single week. That's where we put on the episodes of the shows and all the good stuff with that. It's what we call life here. Life here in the St. Louis area. So if you want to listen to old episodes, new episodes, all the good stuff, the Breaking Point blog, all of that, go to TheQNow.com. Also, don't forget, you can catch us every Saturday, depending on football. Check out the blog for that, too. I do a lot of posting on Facebook and social media in general, Twitters, the face places and all that. We promote this show pretty heavily. We got John Shepherd coming up at the top of the hour. Might have another special guest join us. I'm not sure. We'll find out. Regardless, before we hit the top of the hour, let me talk a little bit about this tax stuff. One of the big things that came up in the debates the other night was the tax breaks. Mitt Romney really believes, honestly, in his true heart, that if you give tax breaks to private sector businesses at the top echelon of the business world, they will in turn take the money that they are saving from those tax breaks and they will put it into new employees and opening up jobs. Now, I've had this conversation with a few people over the last week, and I want to discuss this with you guys really quickly. And if you'd like to be on the show, if you'd like to call in, if you'd like to tell me you hate me, you think I'm the biggest D-bag that you've ever met, 636-356-9266. If you want to call in and say that you love me, that's fine too. Also, I'm getting ready to give away a pair of TNA wrestling tickets. I'm getting ready to give away a pair of TNA wrestling tickets to October 27th show at the Chaffetz Arena. TNA Impact Wrestling will be here live with James Storm and all the superstars of TNA. I'm going to have a pair of tickets to give away here and probably going to do that right here at the end of this break. So be prepared. So just get ready for that. Anyway, check it out. So when Bush was in office, there was this point in the last 2 years of his presidency where he had made it available for rebate checks for families. $300 for an individual, $500 or $600 for a couple, and $750 for a couple with at least one kid. That was kind of the breakdown, if I remember correctly. Okay? So if you were single, you got a $300 check in the mail. Now, here's the beauty of a $300 check in the mail. When a $300 check in the mail comes and you didn't expect it in the first place, what happens is you open it up and you go, oh my God, I got a $300 check in the mail. And then you kind of shrug your shoulders and you go put the money in the bank and you spend it on a video game or whatever you want to spend it on. Okay? And you really don't know why you got the $300 check. Technically, you have no idea. You just know you got one. And you don't turn around and utilize that for anything more than the regular stuff that you do in your life. Now, cut quick change to this, and I know that I'm doing this in a very crass manner, and I'm not the accountant by any means, but follow along with my theory and my beliefs, and basically how I know people work in general. Let's say you're a private sector business that employs 200 people. All of a sudden, Mitt Romney gets elected, and he breaks down and does some tax incentives and all this at the top end, which is what Barack doesn't want to do because he's sick of giving tax incentives and all that to these rich companies that have a lot of money already. He decides that, Mitt Romney gets elected. He gives the tax incentives. So in 2012, I'm just throwing a number out there. Let's say you paid, $54,000 in taxes for your company in 2012. Mitt Romney gets in, he does all these little tax incentives and breaks and this, that, and the other. He turns around and implements his tax stuff. And then in 2013, you only paid $48,000 in taxes. Now, that's a $6,000 savings from the year before, is it not? You were paying 54, now you pay 48. $6,000 savings. I've never been in part of a company that when they saved money via taxes, they put out a company memo that said, ladies and gentlemen, every single person, everyone in this company, I need you to show up at our place at 3:00 in the afternoon on Monday. I need all the employees there at once because we saved $6,000 in taxes, and we're going to make sure that we distribute that out to the people the way that we think that it needs to be. We're going to just do some great things with this. And then they come in and they go, here's $300 for you, and here's $300 for you, and here's $300 for you. No. Business owners are in the business of making profit. So if they save $6,000 because of tax breaks and incentives because of a Republican-based administration, they don't turn around and go, wow, I saved $6,000. I guess it's time for me to go and get myself a new $30,000 a year employee. No, they don't do that. They go, oh, I didn't pay $6,000 more like I did last year. So I'm going to chalk that up as a win. I'm going to put that money into my profits, and we're just going to keep moving on with life. See, liberals are smarter than you guys. That's the problem. We're smart. We get it. We understand how snaky conservatives can be. And a majority of your private sector businesses are run by conservatives. I'm not saying all, but a majority of these businesses are run by voting conservatives. They want the Mitt Romneys and George Bushes to be in power because they get a $6,000 tax break at the top. And even though they have 200 employees underneath them that work for them, they don't dole out pieces of the $6,000 that they saved in taxes from one year to the next out to the employees. They don't even buy a new coffee maker or coffee cups for the storage room. They don't. They pocket that money and just say, just like we do when we get the $300 rebate check in our mail at home. We look at it and go, oh, look, $6,000. Shrug the shoulders. We move on with life. Mitt Romney tries to sell you guys on the idea, and conservatives try to sell you on the idea that they go out of their way to do all these great things when they save all this money. You save, okay, a huge company. Let's say you pay $1 million in taxes. Like a huge, huge company. $1 million in taxes. And then let's say you only pay $750,000 after a Republican administration. Now that's $250,000 that you saved. That's supposedly the $250,000 extra that you're supposed to turn around and create new jobs with. Because a majority of the companies that employ people in the United States are private sector based businesses. But you don't take that $750,000 that you paid, kick it off to the side, look at the $250,000 that is right there in front of you now that you didn't have to pay extra, and go, wow, that looks like that looks like I could hire at least 10 new employees. No, you don't hire 10 new employees. Maybe you hire one. Maybe. And you pay them $20,000, so then you pocket the other $230,000. You already got half of your people on pay freezes. You're not given that. This isn't the 1980s, ladies and gentlemen. Mitt Romney is not Ronald Reagan. The people who run companies in 2012 are bitter. They're angry, a majority of them. They are driven to be successful. I don't have a problem with them being successful. I have a problem with them handling their business the way that they handle their business. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. That's kind of where, you know, you get a lot of the racism overtones that kind of come out of the mouths of the conservatives in general. Like when a liberal or a moderate or somebody else kind of like throws that passive aggressive racist card at a conservative, the conservative goes, I didn't say that. I'm not racist. I'm not this. I'm not that. It's because we kind of see between the lines. We kind of get it. We understand the passive aggressive aspect. We're not knocking you for it. It's not physically what you're saying, though in some of those cases it is what they are saying because the stuff that they're saying is pretty edgy. Let's just put it that way. It's not necessarily what you're saying. It's how you're saying it. Right now, Mitt Romney is how you're saying it with this whole tax thing. Well, you know, I'm going to cut these taxes for you big businesses, and then that's going to create jobs. All the guys at the top of the food chain are smarter than your average. See, here's the problem. You got a bunch of paycheck to paycheck middle class conservatives. And I'm only talking about the conservatives this time, not the liberals. middle class, paycheck to paycheck conservatives. They're not rich, but they do the bidding of guys that are rich and have a lot of money. And it's not a class warfare thing. It just literally is the fact that most of the guys that are running for these positions of power in the government who are conservative, tend, just like liberals, tend to be lawyers and people like that of wealth and power. So here's a guy who's not going to benefit at all because he works at some call center for AT&T. But he's a huge conservative fan, and he's going to do everything to ring that bellwether for the conservatives and money, 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 money. And they're never going to pass it back to him. And he really believes, well, then, even if they don't pass it back to me, maybe someday it'll happen for me and then I'll be in their position. No, you won't. You won't, because if it hasn't happened already, it probably ain't going to fall into your lap. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're hitting the top of the hour here on KYRO 1280 AM. It's time for us to take a break. WestplexNewsTalk.com. Check it out. A lot of great shows there. We are the home of Mizzou and the Cardinals and a bunch of other things here in the St. Louis area. So also don't forget to check out theQNow.com. When we come back, we should have John Shepherd with us live on the phone. We'll be back on the Q after this.
Regulators. You regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up. It was a clear black night, a clear white moon.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q Show here on 1280 AM KYRO. And as promised, ladies and gentlemen, I am actually joined by two special guests. Somebody who's decided to drop in is one Matthew Krueger, who... jumped in here and uh-oh, I think we've lost our caller.
But you still have me.
I have Matt Krueger, who has decided to join in on the show with me.
I don't know how special I am.
And I'm hoping that our friend John Shepherd, who was on the phone, will jump back in with us really quickly here, because I definitely want to talk about these debates and everything that is going on with the debates. So with any luck, maybe John is listening right now. He could call. Actually, maybe I don't even know if I could do it. Let's do this live on the air. Let's see. I really want to get John in on this because I think that this is really good stuff here. This is really good stuff. Later, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna try to make a phone call. We'll be back. Hold on. Just stay there, Matt. Entertain the people with whistling.
Entertain the people with whistling. I can't even do it. Hey, have you ever realized how difficult it is to whistle while smiling?
No, I've never noticed that.
Oh, you should try it one time.
Hey, hold on.
It's impossible.
I'm gonna
bring you back on. Oh, you got him?
I do have him, ladies and gentlemen. John, are you there?
I am here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's my favorite liberal.
Your favorite liberal. I'm your favorite liberal, or you're my favorite liberal?
No, you're my favorite liberal. I'm your favorite conservative. How about that?
Fair enough.
Right.
Now, my question is why would you want, of all the liberals that you could love, why would you love me as opposed to Rachel Maddow or someone like that?
Because you get me really good concert tickets.
I get you really good concert tickets? That's the only reason?
Yeah. No,
Maddow,
I like,
can't
you
pull that off.
You're passionate about your craft, my friend.
I try, you know. I just wish I could get paid for it. It'd be nice if I could get paid for it.
You take it seriously. That's the best attribute, man.
Yeah, and I think that's the truth. You know, John, he follows along with me on social media, obviously. He's chimed in on a few of my different things. And he knows that I'm very active on that. It's not just on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of, and John, you can vouch for this. Matt can vouch for this, too, because you guys are both here. On the radio, yeah, I do my show, and it's a moderate liberal show, and we talk about some controversial topics. But it actually boils over into social media throughout the week. Like, we're not just talking here. We're talking and constantly discussing with people, and it never gets outlandish. It never gets over the top. We allow everybody to talk evenly, and that's what I really love about some of the people I deal with, including John and Matt. So let's get into this. So, John, you saw the debates, did you not, sir?
Yes, I did. I did.
And where did you stand on them?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I mean, Barack really kind of disappointed me a little bit. I thought he put up a little bit more of a tussle. But, I mean, just as far as the mechanics of the debate, body language by the president, I mean, I think you got to give this one to Romney. You know, not by the landslide like everybody, including Chris Matthews, is saying.
Right.
But, you know, there's a long way to go. I think
The more interesting one may be the Ryan and the vice presidential debate. I think that one may be, you know, definitely more interesting.
That one's got the potential to be pretty firework intensive, just because everybody thinks that crazy Uncle Joe is going to show up just talking about, you know, the strippers he went to the bar with the other night and stupid things like that. And then you're going to have the very stern, conservative Ryan.
It really does seem, at least to me, with my I have very little experience with Ryan. I'm not real sure, like, where he came from. But since he's been in the public eye recently, you know, ever since accepting the nomination, with what I know of Joe Biden and with what I've seen and heard from Joe Ryan, from Paul Ryan, it really seems like Ryan is just going to bowl over Biden.
I don't know. It's crazy Uncle Joe that you can never, like, he'll just
you just don't know where he's coming
eventually
from.
Eventually, crazy
Uncle Joe. Guys, here's the main problem with Joe Biden. Now, first of all, let me say this. I'm politically juxtaposed to just about everything that that Joe Biden believes and holds dear. But I've
that's because you're a conservative.
Well, okay, fine. Guilty as charged. But what I'm saying is this. if I'm going to go have a beer with one of the two, oh, I'm going with Joe.
Of course you are. That's what I was going to say.
He's a lot more fun.
He's the guy who eventually gets so drunk at the party, he just starts taking his shirt off and challenging people to fist fights. Like, it just happens.
here's the issue, and this is what happened behind closed doors at the DNC, and that is there was some serious consideration given. And this isn't conjecture, this is fact.
Okay.
There was some serious consideration given to swapping some slots around and putting, you know, trying to talk Hillary into taking the VP slot.
Why?
Set her up for a potential run in 4 years. And Hillary told him flat no. Now, I'm going to say this as a Republican and as a conservative. I think Hillary Clinton has done a great job as the Secretary of State.
Right, but here's the thing. It comes down to what the liberals want for the person that they want running. And when they had the option between Hillary Clinton and her husband, a former president, sitting right behind her, and Barack Obama, a relatively young senator who was kind of on a comet spin shot towards the heavens to get this shot at the presidency of the United States, they spoke loud and clear. And I was one of them, and we chose Barack Obama in the primaries over Hillary Clinton. Like, the option was already there. We get it.
Right.
And and I'm a moderate who tends to lean liberal. I already understand. It's not that Hillary is ever going to be the one. It's really comes down to, we just not ready for a woman president. Like, people say, we weren't ready for a black president. No, we're not ready for a woman president.
I don't even think that it's the fact that we're not ready for a woman president. I really think that Obama won because he's generally more personable.
True.
And I think he can connect to a greater amount of people, and I think that the party recognized that.
Let me just say this. First of all, and I never really have considered Bill Clinton to be a liberal. I really consider him to be more of a moderate than anything else.
You like him because he was good.
I've met the man. I've shaken his hand. He's probably one of the, you know, outside of Ronald Reagan, he's probably one of the best orators ever to walk the face of the earth, and certainly one of the best ever to step into the Oval Office. I give Bill his credit.
Okay.
His second term, he met in the middle, and, you know, he shook hands, and I think that just about anybody, no matter what your political yoke in is right now, would say probably we'd be better off if Bill was in office right now.
I think that if Barack Obama, and I'm being honest with you, John, and I'm not just throwing this out there, I think that if Barack Obama was a white man named Barack Obama, but he was a white man, he would have less issues with what he's dealing with than he has. I'm not saying that it's completely racist-based or racism-based or anything like that. I'm just saying I think that there is a little bit of a caveat there.
Well, let's throw the cards down right now.
Sure.
Every president going back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt has wanted a health care bill. As a matter of fact, probably two-thirds of the health care bill as it was written, or commonly referred to as Obamacare, was actually written by Republicans in the Nixon administration.
True.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Here's what could have gotten the health care bill a little bit more buy-in. Number one, tort reform. I'm a resident of the state of Missouri. Why can't I go across over to the state of Illinois and buy insurance if I can get a better deal? I think.
That's funny. That's funny that you say that, because the current Obamacare bill that is passed, that is going to, a majority of it's going to go into effect in 2014, in January 1st of 2014, a lot of what's already in that bill right now, currently sitting on that shelf, is basically stating we're going to it's built to create a competitive environment within the healthcare industry, regardless of what state you're in.
Yeah, but Mark, that's not 100% true, my friend. It's not across state lines, though. That law still remains.
Right, but most of these companies are national anyway. United Healthcare, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, they're all national companies. Doesn't matter what state you're in, you're just dealing with a national company.
Yeah, it does. It's state to state, there is a vast difference. There is a vast difference on how they do business. Don't kid yourself.
Okay.
And they like it that way. Okay? You know who would fight tort reform more than anybody else? The insurance companies. They don't want it. They absolutely do not want it. They like it. You know, the insurance companies are the number one fan of the health care bill, because you know what it means? It means automatically, overnight, they're going to get 30 million new customers that have no choice than to do business with them.
Yeah, but at the same point, they're also kind of kicking themselves, too, because there's that 80% rule in there. The 80% rule that a lot of people don't understand states that right now, currently, most health insurance companies pay out, on average, about 40% of their actual total take-in towards medical bill costs that they actually accrue over the year. And the new rule states that they have to spend at least 80% of the money that they take in on those medical costs. The reason they like the 40 that they're doing currently right now is because they can only spend 40%. They can take the other 60% of that money and kind of divvy it out between lobbyists and other body, and, you know, steak dinners for Todd Akin or Claire McCaskill or whoever it is. And
yeah.
And then now with the new rules coming in, they got to kind of play above board a little bit more. Now they have to, instead of being able to come to you every year and going, hey, you know, last year the costs went up. Costs went up, so we just need you guys to pay an extra $100 a month more. Now, sorry, John, not to cut you off. Now, they actually have to pay the medical bills off. They actually physically have to pay them off, and so now they can't go back to these people and go, well, you know, medical costs went up. No, you just weren't spending all the money you were taking in on the stuff you needed to spend it on. You were spending it on video games and everything else.
I understand, but here's the biggest problem, and this is why everyone has, you know, such a big problem with this, that's kind of over on my side right now.
Okay.
Okay, I compare, you know, that not everything in the health care bill is bad. Now, I'm going to probably aggravate some of my own party by saying that.
I doubt it. Listen, you are conservative by base, and they are butthurt at all times about everything. So
here's the big problem, okay? I'm going to break this down in terms that everybody can understand.
Oh, I'm ready.
It's like, okay, you work at McDonald's, mm-hmm. you make $1,200 a month, and you live in a trailer you pay $300 for.
Right.
You don't have any business being at Plaza Motors looking at BMW 5 Series.
That's right. No. Of course you don't.
The problem is, you know, good or bad is really kind of irrelevant. It's irrelevant at this point. We can't afford it. It will take our deficit spending to new heights.
Our deficit spending goes up every year by general inflation anyway.
But
it
that doesn't mean that it's okay to just...
Well, that's not exactly true. In the last three years of the Clinton administration, it actually came down.
All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a quick break because I have to. The owner of the station, he definitely likes to pay bills. So
yeah, he's a stickler.
He's a stickler. Yeah, exactly. You've met him before. So here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick break here on the show, and when we come back, let's talk about this, because this kind of leads right into one of the other debate topics that you and me talked about off air, PBS. This kind of leaves.
How to get to Sesame Street.
All right, we'll be back on the queue right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and I am joined today on the phone as well as live in studio with Matt Krueger and John Shepper, a conservative gentleman running for commissioner out in the St. Charles County area. And
Lincoln County.
Lincoln County. I'm sorry, I said area. I was almost like the St. Louis metropolitan area. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to gloss it. However, you know, I learned these tricks and these tactics from the conservatives. I just say this and hope it applies to all of that over there. Now,
no problem.
All right, so here's the situation. Now, John, you have an event coming up this Saturday, or is this Sunday? Tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Actually, right now, Mark, I'm on my way up to Ellsbury, Missouri. They've got a big car show and fall festival. They've got a parade later this afternoon that we're going to be in. But tomorrow, and this is an open invitation, we're having an ice cream social at the Winfield City Park. It's between 2 and 6.
Okay.
You know, since the Rams don't play, you don't have an excuse.
Right.
Since they already played on Thursday. But we're going to have some fun. We're going to have a live band out there. We're going to have ice cream, as it indicates. But because the weather's a little cold, we're going to have some hot dogs and hamburgers and that kind of stuff, too. So, you know, just come on out. Not really begging people for money. If, you know, if you want to contribute to the campaign a little bit, feel free. If you don't, just come by and let's talk about issues.
Hey, now, you know what I think would be great, John, is if I showed up there, how about you? You buy the ice cream and you buy the hamburger, and then you just give me half of your ice cream and half of your hamburger. That would be really nice, because then I'd show up and I'd enjoy them. You'd enjoy them. Everybody would be happy. You see what I'm saying? You get a little ice cream, a little hamburger. I get a little ice cream and a hamburger. Everybody's happy. What do you think?
You know what? That's fantastic, Mark. Now we kind of went back and forth on social media just a little bit.
Yeah.
About Romney's comments about PBS.
And we only got about 6 minutes here, so we can't get into a long-winded thing. But, yeah, I definitely want to hear your opinion.
Well, it was just real quick. I have to say, and I don't think this is a liberal or conservative thing, I have to agree with him. And here's why. Number one, government funding only represents about 1% of NPR and PBS's funding nationwide. It's just not a whole lot.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, and both candidates, both the president and the governor, agreed that we need to cut things out of the budget. Okay. PBS, NPR was started under one premise, and it's become something totally, totally different.
Now, is PBS and NPR synonymous?
Yes.
Or I guess they're both.
Yes, they're both quasi.
Okay.
And here's the deal: the federal government, and this started back in the 30s and 40s, there were vast areas of the western United States, primarily, that were not serviced by radio or TV stations, okay?
Right.
So the federal, and this was a very, very good thing. And they stepped forward and said, okay, this isn't something that on a nationwide basis is going to cost us a whole hell of a lot of money, so let's go ahead and we'll put up public broadcasting stations. They're supposed to be local access.
Right.
You know, the public can basically use them as a forum.
Which they never really were. Maybe in the early days they were, but...
In the very beginning they were.
Yeah, you can't call PBS today and go, hey, I just want to put a show on there.
One place it still exists is Alaska. PBS and NPR is still very big in Alaska because, obviously, if it's a village of 200 with 4 or 5 businesses in it, you're not going to be able to support a radio station. So they have, you know, nonprofits. But what I'm saying is this. I would be just as upset about PBS and NPR if it was a mouthpiece for the ultra-right. I don't think that NPR has any business taking a political slant one way or the other. I'm going to give you an example. Did you watch Walter Cronkite when you were a kid?
Of course I did.
Okay. Do you know...
I mean, I was a kid, though. I mean, it was his...
Right.
Depending on the excitement of what he was talking about.
Right. The point I'm making is, was he a conservative or was he a liberal?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay, exactly. That's my point. The bottom line is what news used to be
was
and what news is now. Okay, for the record, Walter Cronkite was a huge, huge liberal. But you'd never know it because he presented the news in a non-biased manner and people felt comfortable letting him into their homes every day.
I think that's where the change came. I think Fox is the one who really changed that game about 15 years ago when they started doing news. Like when they had their station, they were one thing. But when they went into their news stuff, the first few years of Fox, you never heard, like, arguments between people going, oh, Fox is obviously right-wing or Fox is obviously left-wing. You never heard anything about the Fox radio network or television network being slanted one way or the other. And then all of a sudden, it was around – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it was all of a sudden around about the time the Al Gore, George Bush election happened that
Fox
you started to see that.
Fox is what Fox is for one specific reason. Number one, who owns Fox?
Rupert Murdoch.
Most liberal man in the United States of America. He has an ultra-conservative television news network for one reason, because it makes money. There's a market niche for it.
Yep.
So before we start talking about how great Fox is or how great CNN is, I mean, obviously, in my mind, what we have today is we have Fox on the far right. We have MSNBC on the far left. Honestly, CNN is somewhere, I think, in the middle.
Sort of, to an extent. I would say that CNN at times tends to lean right a little bit. I mean, I think that they, if they, I would call them moderate, who, like, I'm moderate who leans liberal. They're moderates who lean right to an extent, not completely, but they, I seem to get a flex from that. But I really, you know, my, you know how I base my opinions on things? I base my opinions on things when it comes to news, on how many networks physically pick it up. Like, if all the networks pick it up, then I care.
Right.
If not, if just one of the networks picks it up, I don't care. I really never do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, Fox's main weakness is covering any kind of news that is not political. That's because CNN is 50 times bigger. If it's a hurricane or a non-political issue, CNN's going to kick everybody's butt.
Right.
Just because they're so big.
So now, here's the situation. I believe, and we only got like a minute and 30 seconds here before I have to drop you, bud, but here's the situation. I think this PBS thing is kind of a drop in the bucket. I don't think they should get rid of PBS. I think PBS serves a very good purpose, and it's
Mark, PBS won't go away.
Right.
There's more than enough money to support PBS.
Yeah, well, I mean, they sell a lot of Sesame Street T-shirts. Yeah, they do.
The federal government does not need to fund it anymore. That's my bottom line.
You know, I always thought PBS was funded in the majority by, you know, viewers and, you know, and listeners.
Absolutely.
And what about this? What if this Romney statement leads to more people pooling together and actually donating more to PBS because they think there's a chance it's going to go away, and they have it such ingrained in their lifestyle that they don't want it to?
Perfect point. This may actually be the best thing that ever happened to PBS.
Potentially, but yeah.
Thank you, Mitt.
Nobody wants to come home after their dad beat them. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not their thing, you know? Like, so Mitt Romney becomes president. We're not all just going to be like, oh, yeah, I forgot. You beat my little sister the other day, Big Bird. Yeah. I'm not going to forget about that.
Now? Yeah. I thought Big Bird was a guy.
Yeah, whatever. All right, here's the situation, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank John Shepper for joining me today. Tomorrow is his Ice Cream Social. Go check that out. Where's it at again, real quick, John?
Winfield City Park. Take Highway 79 up from Highway 70, or if you're in Lincoln County, Highway 47 to 79 North. It's on the eastern end of town, the lower portion of Winfield. Turn right at the big car wash there. There's a big sign that says WSA Fairgrounds. You go three blocks, you run right into it, you'll see the sign.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back on the queue right after this. Thanks, John.
No problem, guys. Have a great one.
Thank you, John.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. Check us out at www.theqnow.com. That's theqnow.com. Old shows, new shows, all kinds of shows, as well as I'm being joined right now by Matt Krueger. John Woo-hoo. Shepard was just on with us, and you're listening to WestplexNewsTalk.com. That's where you can listen to us live streaming nationwide every single Saturday from noon to 2 p.m., of course, depending on whether there is a football game or not or things like that sort. But regardless of that, Matt, how's everything going, bud?
Pretty good. I had a very interesting week.
You had a very interesting week.
Very opportunistic.
Opportunistic week.
You might even call me the ultimate opportunist.
Conservative week, then.
Why?
Because they're opportunists. Whether it's negative or positive, they are opportunists.
I guess. Well, I am slightly pretty. Yeah, I'm conservative.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. All right,
you would know.
We
argue back and forth about it.
Oh, yeah, we do. Well, we don't really argue about it. There's nothing really to argue about when I'm always right. So, and you know, you guys know that I'm right. Come on. That's why you love me. You know, you secretly want to go around telling everybody how I'm wrong, but deep down in your heart, as soon as the phone call's over, the podcast turns off, you're sitting there in the back of your mind, you're like, you know, that Mark guy, I really like him because he really is kind of right. You know, he's kind of right about pretty much everything he says. Like, he's calling us on our stuff left and right. So, yeah. Matt, you know, as we like to do all the time here on the Cube,
mm-hmm.
is... letters from the listeners, bud.
Love these.
You love the letters from the listeners, and I got some doozies today, man.
Oh no,
I've got some doozies. Mark, what is the most offensive fact that you know?
Oh man,
and I put this out to the.
Is this radio safe?
I put this out to the Twitterverse and the Face Places and all that, and I wanted them to chime in with this. Smuffleupagus. Smuffleupagus, that's right.
Snuffleupagus?
No, Smuff. Smuff. S-M-U-F-F. Smuffleupagus. He says Martin Luther King Jr. Plagiarized his doctoral thesis.
What? Okay.
I don't know how that's an offensive fact. Potentially offensive.
Well, it could be that people that would be Martin Luther King supporters might say, oh, no, that is BS, and we don't believe it. And how could you say that? You're a racist.
Help 1983 Throwaway says H.P. Lovecraft was extremely racist and had a pet cat named the N-word man.
Really?
Yeah, I can't say the N-word. I'm just saying that's what they say.
You could.
I
wouldn't recommend it.
Kel Bell, K-E-L-L Bell, Kel Bell. She writes in and says, John Lennon was kind of a D-word. He beat his wives and was emotionally abusive to his son.
So John Lennon was a feminine cleansing product?
Potentially. It's kind of, I would never have thought about John Lennon. What's the most offensive fact that I know? I don't even know if... Like, those don't come across too often in your life. Like, just something that just blatantly blows your mind, and you're like, really?
How about this? How about the idea that Dresden, the firebombings of Dresden killed way more people than the atomic bomb at Hiroshima? Explain to me the firebombings of Dresden in the first place. And it was hidden from the American public for, like, 15 years.
Please explain all of this to me. I don't understand where any of this came from.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know there was a bombing in Dresden.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the train bombings a few years
ago? No, the city, the German city of Dresden was firebombed. And there's just like small little patches of survivors. They basically went in and just torched the place. And it was like really odd for them to do it because there were no military bases. They held American prisoners of war there, and just everyone, 100,000 some odd people, 100 maybe 130,000 people, perished in the firebombings of Dresden, and only 87,000 people died in the bombing of Hiroshima.
Right.
And it's still considered, Hiroshima is still considered like the pinnacle of destruction.
Well, yeah, because it was the way it was done. It's not what they said, but it's how they said it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's the tone and inflection they used on top of it.
I guess what makes it offensive is that the idea that it was bombed was hidden from the American people. And it wasn't until much later that, you know, people started, you know, with real life experience there, started writing books about it. And it's slowly made its way into textbooks. And I think it's odd. I don't really have a good reason why they would keep it from us for so long.
That is kind of odd.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Like, is information overloaded as we are as a society now? Yeah. That you would have thought that would have just fell out anyway.
Like, when Hiroshima happened, the president basically came out and was like, so this is what we did, and if you guys mess with us anymore, we'll do it again. You know, this is a new age in atomic energy. Bow down to us, you know, kind of a thing.
I also got another one that I put out there to the Twitter verses. And Mark, love the show. Thank you so much for doing that. Well, appreciate it.
Are you having a conversation with yourself?
I am, kind of. appreciate it that you guys say kind words about me. Thank you so much. If you ever want to get in contact with me or the show, first off, if it's live, you can call us right now, 636-356-9266. You can call in. You can tell us how good-looking Matt Krueger is when you see his picture on Facebook. You can tell. I don't even know if that's possible, actually.
No, because I never use my own picture as my profile.
You're a weirdo.
I always use art.
Or you can call in and say that you love the show, you hate the show, you think I'm a douche. Whatever you want to call in and say, you can do it. Also, you can always go to the contact page at theqnow.com, and that will email me directly, and I will answer all emails similar to this one. So, you guys can get a hold of me, too, just like these people. What are some of the things, Mark, that people do out of politeness that actually infuriates the hell out of you? So I put this out there to the Twitterverse also. Some of the things that people do out of politeness that infuriates me. I would say that I'm trying to think. I'm a pretty roll-the-punches kind of guy.
Here, how about this? Now, this could probably be identified with by a lot of road ragers. How about when you're both at a stop sign on opposite ends?
Right.
And the one guy's just like, come on, go, go. And he's giving you that hand motion, like, come on, go. And you're like, no, you got here first. And you're like, I'm trying to go this way, and he's trying to go that
okay.
way. And there's like, there's...
But I don't literally take that personal.
No, because you're not a road rager. But there are people that would just be like, why don't you just go?
I'm not a conservative. A conservative
hey,
would
man,
be a road
I'm
rager.
I'm a conservative. I am a grandpa behind the wheel. There's probably
you're a grandpa behind the
wheel. Which
kind of grandpa are you? The one to get off my lawn kind of grandpa? Because that's a road rager.
No. I drive the speed limit. I come to full and complete stops. I use my turn signal. I obey all traffic rules. Not always my seatbelt, but... You know, that's, you know, neither here nor there. But I am that guy that was just like, you know what? You go. I'll just wait. It's safer that way. If you go and you're out of the way, I know that there's less of a chance that you're going to be an idiot and run into me.
I hate when I have, like, food or something on my face or chin or something after I felt that I completely wiped off my face after a meal or something. And people are too polite to tell me. Because they think
I would always want to be told
they're going to call you out.
Like they're going to be embarrassed about it.
Yeah, they're like, oh man, I don't want to. Like I hate that.
Like, you got some mayo on your lip, man.
Just tell
people.
Jelly 42 says, as a restaurant employee, when customers put napkins into their glasses to clean their table, they dissolve like toilet paper, and I have to dig them out because they stick to the bottom. Just put the trash on your plate. That makes total sense. Total sense. I understand that completely. Let's see here. What else we got?
Trying to find a good one?
Yeah, there was a few.
Did you hear Kiss was coming out with new music?
What?
Yeah, Kiss has a new album that comes out on the 9th called Monster. They have already released... 3 songs that you can pre-listen to, I guess,
okay.
before the album comes out on SoundCloud.
All right.
It's really, I don't know. It's a Universal Records SoundCloud account, so it's not like plagiarizing, and Kiss themselves has put this music out. I haven't listened to them yet, but I'm not a Kiss super fan by any means.
Right.
I just think that it's interesting that Kiss is still making new music.
Well,
and
Kiss is not one of those bands where they want to be doing this for.
And me and you have gone back and forth about how Gene Simmons is like a monetary visionary.
Yeah, this guy could do a lot
he's
of good
greedy.
Things for other people.
He's greedy, almost is what we've argued.
Oh
about.
No, he's definitely greedy.
And I wonder if it's just one of those things where he just, like, maybe he needs a new car, or maybe he needs to make the next 5 years of his house payment.
That's right.
So he's coming out with a new album, which makes me wonder, is the music going to be crap? But then again, is most Kiss music crap?
Pretty much.
Okay.
I'm just going to be honest with you. Kiss is one of those bands that the gimmick and the makeup and all that was cool. They should have hung that stuff up a few years ago and just left it at that. Moved on into other venues. Hey, you could still work in the music industry. There's 1,000 ways to do it.
Gene Simmons, producer.
All right,
he can produce other metal bands.
We're going to take a quick break here on The Q. When we come back, we're going to finish out this show. We'll be back on The Q after this.
With all these buyouts and all of our companies going overseas, there's no reason our beer needs to be owned by a foreign company.
American Patriot Beer is a crisp, clean lager, full of flavor and full of American spirit.
And it's being brought to you by some of the very same Americans who lost their jobs to buyouts. You're going to love it.
It's all been made right here in the USA. The bottles, the grains, even the paper for the cartons.
One taste is all it takes. American Patriot and American Patriot Light. Now available in bottles and cans.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, joined today by Matt Krueger.
Hello.
We've been talking a little bit about politics, a little bit about Gangnam Style. Oblum Gangnam Style. Brum, 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 brum. I'm sorry. Yeah, that just happened. That should never happen again, and it won't.
No, it shouldn't have happened in the first place.
It shouldn't have happened in the first place, and it's weird that it did. So, David Blaine. Let's talk about David Blaine for a minute.
Do we have to?
What do you think about what do you think of David Blaine?
I think I just made it quite apparent. Do we have to talk about David Blaine? Okay, he was a flash in the pan magician. He was a street performer.
Would you consider him that or an endurance artist?
Now I'm getting there. Okay. He was a street performer, magician.
He was good.
He did some cool stuff.
Oh yeah, he did.
He was impressive. And then he went into these like human feats. Kind of like Harry Houdini, and I'm wondering if maybe that's his icon and that's who he wants to be. And so, yeah, now it's just him trying to put his body through weird, interesting, perilous situations to see if he'll survive, to try to garner attention for some reason. And I'm not sure if a lot of it is a sham or a scam or some kind of art. I'm not sure what it is.
Okay.
But people talk about it. So
I'm going to switch it up. Endurance artist David Blaine's latest stupid human trick is standing on a platform and getting electrocuted for 72 hours straight. That's a picture of it right there.
It looks like he's being attacked by a Tesla coil.
Yeah, he looks like he's Frankenstein pretty much at this point.
He kind of looks like Frankenstein. Dude's ugly.
The Ven is now streaming live on Intel's Ultrabook Experience channel, which seems strange until you realize... people are using laptops to hit Blaine with volts of electricity.
What?
Yep.
That's cool. You mean I can hit a button and electrocute David Blaine?
Yes. As Gawker, Kata Weaver points out, Blaine's latest stunt is hardly dangerous. Basically, David Blaine is going to wear a suit and be awake for a long time. Afterwards, he's going to smell like before a thunderstorm. That's pretty much it.
He's going to smell bad.
So, physicist John Belcher confirms that Blaine is going to be just fine. There's no danger in this that I see. I would do it, and I am 69 years old and risk averse. I would have to take a nap first. So, if you're tuning in to see a man get fried to death, or at least watch his hair go full Einstein, you're going to be disappointed. That's not going to happen. And actually, you're going to be disappointed regardless, unless you really want to see Blaine repeatedly wave at the crowd of people gathered below him. Seriously, that's all it's about at this point. He waves, smiles, really dramatically, uses really dramatic music to distract from all the banality of it all.
Because really, I mean, what is it? Now, if he was up there, like, reciting the Iliad while this was all happening, like, in a very, you know... I don't know, professional manner with a British accent, maybe then, you know, you would pay attention, but... If he's just standing there completely safe with just, you know, electric bolts just kind of flowing around him and being absorbed into this protective suit, yeah, then that's kind of lame. But, I mean, is
have
it,
I told you that
is
I don't,
it pretty looking? Like, is it cool to look
it's
at?
It's probably really cool to look at. I mean, the picture looked pretty cool. I mean, if you were staying there live and there's, like, Tesla coil the size of this entire building... shooting at a human being in the middle
of it. So it looks pretty cool.
It looks like, you know.
It's an attraction.
It's a crazy little attraction, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, people pay $20 to go through haunted houses.
More power to him. If he's making money off of it, more power to him. Free market economy.
Also, I'm going to do the TNA ticket giveaway here at the end, and then I'll announce the winner on Facebook.
Woohoo!
So we got a pair of tickets to give away to TNA.
Total nonstop action.
Impact Wrestling, October 27th at the Chaffetz Arena here in St. Louis, Missouri. Have I told you that I don't like conservatives? I'm not totally against them. I'm a moderate, so I pull a little bit from them. But I'm not a big fan of the conservative.
I think that's
currently.
The first time you've told me that you don't like them.
Well, it's not that I don't like them. I don't like their current.
You just said that you don't like them. I'm using your words.
Excuse me.
Now, you might not always agree with them.
First off, stop
but
being.
That's the first time you said you didn't like
them. Stop being unladylike. Two. I'm legitimately misspoken in my statements.
Allow me to curtsy.
Yes. I'm not a big fan of the way that they handle themselves right now, and for good reason, let's be totally honest. Straightforward, it is what it is.
Okay.
So here's our situation. Arkansas State Rep, slavery may actually have been a blessing in disguise for black people.
What?
Yes.
Now, this is an Arkansas state representative.
He was a conservative. A Republican Arkansas state representative said this. Now,
how am I going to defend this?
You're not going to be able to because most of your conservatives, they love their guns. They love their camo. If you give them a Mossy Oak shirt, they think it's the greatest thing since sliced freaking bread.
I hate Mossy Oak.
Okay. On top of that, most of them are too passively aggressively racist to be man enough to just say, I hate that black guy.
You know,
or
there
I hate
is
the...
one good thing about black people. They are more proactively racist than white people. At least they know where they stand.
Yeah, at least you know where they stand, and they'll say it to your face if they're going to be racist against you. White people won't do that no more because they're afraid they'll get in trouble.
Right.
See, and at least I respect a guy like this because he's just going to showcase it as opposed to be like the majority of the conservatives and go, oh, I'm not really racist, man. I got friends that are black. I want to punch. Politeness. You were talking about the politeness thing earlier? Yeah, that's one of those things.
I have black friends,
I want to punch them in their face.
It's okay. I can say this.
Yeah.
I have black friends. No.
No. Out here in the middle of Nowhereville, Lincoln, Troy, St. Charles County. I mean, I know, listen, I know I got 7,000 fans nationally that listen to the show and download it every single week, but out here in the middle of Nowheresville, I guarantee you the only black person you knew was the one black girl or black kid who actually went to class with you, and he was the token,
right.
Just like on South Park, which, by the way, have you seen the newest episode of South Park?
I haven't seen South Park in about 3 seasons.
Oh, you're missing Honey Boo Boo. Fatty doo doo.
I don't think I'm missing anything.
All right, let's talk about this guy real quick before we get out of here. We spent an awful lot of time condemning slavery, but have you ever stopped to think about the good that it did, man? You ever think about the good?
Like
that
the production
did?
Value?
Right. No, because you're not a monster. Let's just be honest.
Right.
Luckily, Republican State Representative John Hubbard of Arkansas has you covered in his self-published book, Letters to the Editor, Confessions of a Frustrated Conservative. Okay, the institution of slavery that the black race has long believed to be an abomination upon its people may actually have been a blessing in disguise. The blacks who could endure those conditions and circumstances would someday be rewarded with citizenship in the greatest nation ever established upon the face of this earth. Now, of course, because our friend is so blatantly racist, he forgets to realize that regardless of racism, there were tons of countries that sent people over here that just came to our country through Ellis Island and didn't have to be slaves at all. And we're part of the greatest nation that ever existed on Earth.
That wasn't that like a little afterward?
No, that was in the 1920s, and racism and slavery and all that stuff was undercover.
Okay, when was the Emancipation
Black people
Proclamation?
You still had segregation.
I'm not saying we didn't have segregation.
You still had a lot of things that were slavery-esque.
Citizens.
Yeah, but they weren't. They were, but they weren't. Let's be honest.
And when was women's voting?
Suffrage? 1923?
So right around the same time.
Yeah. Blacks and women. What if you were a black woman? Double negative. That's all I'm saying.
It's like being an Asian behind the wheel.
Oh, that's horrible. I know somebody's going to come. Oh, you said double negative. What you think about your black people? No. No, I said double negative. Listen, I'm the one who actually can back up the things I say. Don't you dare send me an email at all talking about how you're just...
I think he's asking for you to send him emails.
Yeah. No. So, finally did, you know, we recently, we don't have to talk about this too much. And we only got a couple minutes here before we get out of here, but
all right.
Savage Vibrations.
Yeah.
We do this show every once in a while, ladies and gentlemen. The newest show is up.
Once a week.
The newest show is up. And it's fun.
It's actually a lot of fun. It's some of the most fun. I look forward to it.
We get to be a little
week.
Bit more crass.
Yeah, we get to take the pants off a little bit.
I don't
bit.
Really think that you look forward to it every week. I think that you make that up.
No, I do look forward to it because while I'm there, I have a lot of fun doing it.
All right.
I'm always like a worrywart. You know, I'm always like, okay, what should I be doing most? I try to compartmentalize into, what's the word I'm looking for? I have no idea. Where I itemize things by importance.
Right. You categorize them.
And sometimes it doesn't...
Prioritize.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you.
It just doesn't always...
And sometimes it's not always on a high priority because we do Savage Vibrations for fun.
Yes.
And sometimes fun does not feed the dog.
Well, guess what? Fun's going to not feed the dog again this week because we're getting ready to do not Savage Vibrations. We're going to be recording an episode of The Q for next weekend.
Woohoo!
Coming up. Yes, I'm not going to be here next weekend, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to be taking care of some business with my wife and my daughter and family. So, You're going to be giving yourself a recorded episode of the show. But hey, you know, no big deal. We're going to come back real hard. I still am trying to set up this Wildcat Chris Harris interview as well as a few other things right now for TNA before they come here on October 27th. By the way, here's what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to get out of here. So as soon as I go off the air, you guys can call into 636-356-9266. First caller to call in is going to win themselves a pair of tickets to see TNA Wrestling at the Chaffetz Arena on October 27th.
I'll be there.
The Q Show. Matt will be there. I'll be there. We're all going to be there. So also don't forget to check out The Q Show, theqnow.com. That's theqnow.com. Old shows, new shows, great stuff. We're getting ready to set up, hopefully, a new tournament of pop culture. I'm working on it right now. Also, WestplexNewsTalk.com is where you can catch us every single Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tell your friends, tell your family. Hit us up. Become our friends. Listen, we do this show for you. This is the best moderate liberal radio show in the United States of America.
Well, I was going to say you could also go to Facebook.com/Savage Vibrations.
All right. We'll be back later.